armchair.
There's something, I'll say there's something kind of about a kid that's never played baseball.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, and flat out deceived.
Why did you get so drunk?
You got drunk. I'm just really exhausted.
What's in that cup?
Rum and Cokes.
Do you have any idea how important
you
this is?
Have
try
any
to save
idea?
The pump up. Really, this
you
is what you're doing?
Have any
this
idea?
Is what you're doing?
Chief, what do you want to do tonight?
The same thing we do every night. Try to take over the world.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Armchair.
YouTube Live.
Radio Station.
The radio station you can call your own. What listeners like about our station?
I like everything. It's always on my radio.
We never stop the music, except for now, when I talk.
You're listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks. We're here live weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country, your first choice for Southern sports. Good afternoon. I'm Mac McGee, and I don't know much, but I know one thing. This weekend sucked. God bless, getting swept. We were all excited. What was that?
Armchair.
Community Access Channel.
He's the armchair quarterback. He's full of beer and he's full of snacks. He's the All-American man.
Hey, howdy, hi, and how the hell are you? Well, I've been better. That was a rough one to take, Braves fans. Was not expecting taking it on the chin like that. My word, the Atlanta Braves get swept at home for the first time. Now, the good news is we got swept at home for the first time since 2021, the year we won the World Series. So that's the good news on that front that we, and I remember that one. And what I remember about that one more than anything else was we got swept at home by Toronto and they blew our doors off in every single facet of the game. And I remember thinking, man, this Braves team may not be very good. This is long before we made the trades to add Peterson and Soler. Rosario, all those guys ended up going nuts and helping us win the World Series. But I remember thinking not being very competitive in any of the games. Different situation this weekend. Our bullpen just let us down. We got good starts from all three of our starters. You really can't complain about a single one of them. I mean, if you really want to nitpick, you can, but not really. Max Fried was phenomenal. And when it was going on, I was saying this. So this isn't, you know, hindsight 2020 kind of junk. I felt like they should have kept him out there. Let him get out of the inning. He's your ace. Let him do it. Instead, they go to the bullpen, and what happens? We end up with basically a mess. And there goes that man again, Yordan Alvarez. We could not get this guy out the entire weekend. And why in the world you would want to pull Max Fried when I honestly felt like that he was pitching pretty darn well. But then you go in, and what you did there was you asked Anderson to do more than what he's expected to do. You expected him to go out there and pitch an inning plus. And I just think the whole thing unraveled. But anyways, Atlanta Braves end up losing that one 5-2. I mean, what a mess. What an absolute mess that was. 2 in the 8th to tie the game up. And then 3 in the 9th, it just blew the thing wide open. We wasted a very good start by Max Fried. is what we did. And you go back on to Saturday, and the Saturday game, very reminiscent of the Friday game. Now, Kyle Wright, I thought, pitched pretty well. They may have pushed their luck a little too much, sending him back out there. Kyle Wright is still coming off that off the injury in the late start, and he is not a guy that I want to go send out there to the sixth inning against that lineup. We paid dearly for that. And then you go back to Friday night, and Friday night, look, you can't ask any more from Bryce Elder than what you got. Bryce Elder went out there on Friday night against the Houston Astros and went six innings, no earned runs, six strikeouts. Jesse Chavez just spit the bit. Jesse Chavez, like, right? I mean, he'd been perfect all year long. And he came in and just had an absolute terrible, and I mean terrible, beginning, ending the entire inning. So the game ends up getting out of control. And once again, it ends up being, God bless, I'll tell you what, that Yordan Alvarez, he is going to be a problem for a very long time. For the American League, for Major League Baseball. This guy's only 25 years old. And he reminds me so much of his swing and the way that he steps up in big moments. He reminds me so much of Big Poppy. He just has that natural swing. And he's so, and even if you have a lefty in there, he is so damn hard to get out. And so let me address a couple of the comments. Give me 1 second. But the Ozuna situation, let me wrap up the thoughts on the whole Astros series. We played a competitive series. We lost every single game, and we lost by a very short margin. Very small margin, excuse me. And that's just one of those things that we're going to end up with a situation where sometimes, and look, last week we talked about this. You're going to play 162 games. Everybody's going to win a third. Everybody's going to lose a third. It's that middle third that's going to decide whether or not you're a good team, a great team, etc. We had a bad stretch, and it was terrible, and it's really bad because you did it at home. Now, the only plus I can take from this is this. Houston had not been playing great baseball. They finally stepped in and played really well. And we lost three very close games to the defending world champions, and there's a reason why they're defending world champions. Now, the good news is, we see them again in October, which would be the only way that we would meet up with the Astros again. We do not have another series with them. I'm sure most of y'all are thinking, thank God for that. that bus all. But when we go to see them in October, let's say they're on the other side and we're in the World Series, they're in the World Series. The one thing you can say is that this might be a motivating factor. The other thing is we should have Harris. We should have Darnold. And it's looking more and more like Soroka is on his way back. And more on Soroka in a moment. The question that was thrown at me, do you think this is the last time we see Ozuna in the lineup if he doesn't get a hit tonight? I'm tired of seeing him in the lineup, period. I don't care if he does get a hit. Whoop-a-doo. Even a blind squirrel finds an acorn. This guy is absolutely, positively, trying to think of the best actual word for this without getting too crass. he's useless in the sense that he's got a batting average below 100. He has absolutely no exit velocity anymore. Every once in a while, he'll get lucky and run into one. But even with that being said, he's got, what, 4 base hits? Okay, 2 home runs. They were not against the better pitchers of baseball. Not to mention, they haven't come in big moments. And so you got a guy who is, look, let's be honest, and maybe there's a part of us that just doesn't want to admit this at this point, but you've got a guy at this point that we overpaid for. We made a terrible mistake. It happens. And I don't think it's a situation where you can go out here and say, okay, we got to make sure that we get everything out of him. We've gotten everything that we could possibly get out of him. And I, for one, am flat out just sick of it. You can't keep going in there. What's the old saying about the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. Well, right now, Snicker, Anthopoulos, the entire Braves organization, they're insane. Because this is the same thing over and over and over again. And we're expecting him to go out there and put up big numbers? It's impossible. It is absolutely impossible at this point. And I don't see how in the world we can continue. There's the lineup on the screen, by the way. So I'm going to go through the lineup real quick for tonight's game. Get you ready for Braves Marlins, game 1 of a 4-game series. We've got the better pitching matchup tonight, Cabrera. He's got some strikeout stuff, but he's a guy that really likes to walk. He can get gotten to if you work the counts. I suspect the Braves are going to put some runs up tonight. And Strider, against this Marlins lineup, I'm expecting him to go out there 5-6 strong, 2 runs or less. And this is a guy, the way they have paid him, the way they're going to lock in around him, and though Freed pitched a great game, it wasn't like it had anything to do with Freed not doing anything. Realize something, too. The Braves face 3 very good pitchers in their own right. Framber Valdez is filthy. I don't think Christian Javier has ever gotten the respect he needs to get in Major League Baseball. Remember, he was the guy that went into Yankee Stadium last year and had the combined no-no. And they went out there and they pitched an incredible game in the playoffs as well. Hunter Brown, they got to for a few runs. He's a rookie. And I'll tell you what, they had him on the ropes. They should have been able to get him off the rope. They should have been able to knock him out. And they let him get back out there and get his feet back under him. Hunter Brown's got great stuff. This Astros team is phenomenal. They're getting, man, I'll tell you what, they're getting good production out of some guys I was not as familiar with going into this series. But that Myers out in center field, I'm extremely impressed by him. Now, I think our center field is much better, but he didn't play. And Dubon at second base, filling in for Altuve. That kid can play. And he's an older, almost journeyman type. I want to say he's 30, 31, something like that. I remember looking up while doing the games this weekend. I was surprised because he looks very young. But, man, I'll tell you what, he can pick it, and he can absolutely come up with the big hits. But tonight you got Acuna back out in right field. You got Olsen, Riley, Murphy. That hasn't changed. Rosario. That's the problem that I've got in this lineup. Even as much as Ozuna has disappointed, Eddie Rosario does not belong number 5 in this lineup. Eddie Rosario is not playing good baseball. And I can't keep going off of what a guy, what his ability is, what his projections are. He's batting 192 this year. 192. He's got an OPS of 484. What's strange is if you click on his actual numbers. Oh, never mind. I was on the wrong day. So he was batting 192. I thought that was a little high, but I was just going to go with it. He was batting 192. Eddie Rosario now is batting 175. 175 with a 484 OPS, and we have him batting fifth in this lineup. I don't care if it's lefty-righty. First of all, last time I checked, Ozzie Albies was a switch hitter. Put him behind Murphy. What do we have to do? And what do we have to do to get Sam Hilliard some at-bats higher in this lineup? Sam Hilliard is behind Rosario and Ozuna. What in the hell is going on? That makes zero sense. You talk about a pit. Listen to four of the nine guys that are going to be in the lineup tonight. Rosario's batting 175. Marcell Ozuna's batting a comical 078. I think I said four. I meant three. And then Adrianza, he's doing Adrianza type things. He's 0 for 4 on the year. He's in the starting lineup over Vaughn Grissom. I really think that's just to get Adrianza some work. McHugh, I'm expecting him to be, I haven't seen the update. I'm going to check it real quick, but McHugh, I would expect that he gets added tonight before the game. Have not seen an announcement for it, but there's a lot of stirring. He was in Atlanta this weekend working with the team after doing a couple of outings. Hey, look, Max Fried, you could not ask for anything more than 6 2/3 innings, 3 hits allowed, and 5 strikeouts against the defending world champs. And was, I mean, he is just spinning it. Unbelievable. Talented pitcher. And I thought it was pretty cool. There were some pictures out there. Max Fried and Ozzie Albies, I guess, went to the Hawks game. And even though the Hawks lost or whatnot, I think it's cool that they go out there and support the home team. We'll talk more about the Hawks here in a second, but by the way, in case I forget to mention it later, happy birthday, Chipper Jones. Also, happy birthday, Andrew Jones. His birthday, I believe, was yesterday. So Andrew Jones, I have it jotted down here somewhere. He turns, this one shocked me, he's 46. I thought Andrew Jones would be older. It feels like Chipper Jones being 51 would be older. But I guess it's just because they've been gone so long. Just in your mind, it feels like it's been just ages ago. But I guess it hasn't been as long as I realized. But I think the reason why Andrew Jones feels so much older to me, because it has been 15 years since he's been in an Atlanta Braves uniform. But happy birthday to the Joneses. I never realized that the two of them have birthdays right next to each other, back to back. One more thing they have in common. But this Braves lineup, this is a sad state of affairs for tonight. I'm not digging the fact that we've got Ozuna and Adrianza and Rosario all in the lineup tonight. You got to give me a puncher's chance to take one of them out. Why is it Vaughn Grissom designated hitting if you want to give him the day off and sit Ozuna's fat butt on the same? He's not worth 2 ounces of anything. If he gets on, let's say he dribbles one into the infield somehow. He's not a threat to score. What's the game plan here? Ozuna finds somehow to get on, and Adrianza is going to drive him in. I tell you right now, the only good thing, only smart thing they did with the Rosario, Ozuna, Adrianza thing, and maybe this is where they're going with this, they didn't put any of them back-to-back because they don't want back-to-back outs. But I still think these are rally killers. Unless there's something going on with Vaughn Grissom that I'm not aware of, Vaughn Grissom should be designated hitting. There's no way on God's green earth that Marcelo Ozuna should ever be in Atlanta Braves lineup ever again. Vaughn Grissom, at least when he's at the plate, looks like that he has somewhat of a plan. And he's had a couple of big hits, and I wouldn't say he's lighting the world on fire. But at least if Vaughn Grissom gets on, he's a threat to score. Just unbelievable. Right now, Vaughn Grissom is batting .273. Over, what did I say it was? 078. And I get that you might want to give him a day off. I totally get that part. Like I said, unless there's something that I'm not familiar with Vaughn Grissom, this might just be a day off. But why not put him in the... You're going to give him a day off? Why not put him at the DH spot? And what I'm looking at right now from Yahoo Sports, it looks like that it's just a day off. So very little offense can you expect it from the bottom of the lineup. Now, stranger things have happened. Maybe they'll go out there, but that just means Spencer Strider better be on tonight. He better be on. By the way, there's breaking news. De'Aaron Fox fractured tip of his left index finger in Game 4. I mean, you got to toughen up, Buttercup. These are the playoffs. Fractured tip of the left index finger. I'd say that he's just going to wrap that and got to go. Now, whether that's going to affect his shooting is a totally different situation. By the way, did you see how the NBA got Dylan Brooks kicked out of the game? He barely contacted LeBron. They kicked him out. Man, that's what you get for shooting your mouth off, man. They are not going to let you bash who they think is their bell cow, although numbers have shown that when he's not in the playoffs, the viewing numbers actually go up. But that's some funny stuff. That is some funny stuff. I was watching that game live, and I saw in the meme that's going around with him looking, or the picture, whatever you want to call it, where he's just giving that look like, really? You're kicking me out for this? That was just classic. But back to the Braves real quick. This is just, this is going to be a game where the top of that line, a better rake. Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Murphy, and Rosario, for that matter. If you're going to be in the lineup, you need to start getting some bases. He's 10 for 57 with one home run and one RBI. And he's sitting in the middle of your lineup with one RBI. And this is not that small of a sample size. 57 at bats, you expect the guy to be hitting much closer to 250. He's not Gold Glove out there. He's supposed to have a decent bat. He's a solid, okay glove. But Rosario is supposed to be there for hitting. And until he turns around, and I'm not saying he can't turn it around, but until he turns it around, can we lower him in the lineup a little bit? Can we quit acting like this is 2021 October Eddie Rosario and go off of face value of what it is? It's a guy who's batting 175. I still don't think Ozzie Albies has hit his stride anywhere close to it, and he's hitting 244. Why in the hell is he not up higher? Why is Sam Hilliard is batting 317. He has 16 less at bats. 16. That's damn near a week. That's over five games, or just about five games. Four, five games, depending. So he's played that much less than Eddie Rosario, 16 less at bats, and he has three more hits with the same amount of home runs, twice as many RBI. And oh, by the way, if he gets on, he has three stolen bases. I don't know what it's going to take to get Ozuna out of this lineup. I mean, obviously, when Darnold and Harris come back, Ozuna's gone. I would be shocked if he wasn't. But that doesn't mean, even if you're handcuffed, they're saying, well, we got to keep him on the roster. Okay, I get it. You don't have to put him in the lineup. Not against a right-hander. If you're going to take a swat at it, wait till there's a lefty on the hill, which, by the way, there's a lefty in the series. I saw Bryson Garrett's going to be pitching with, I think, Thursday. At that point, like, I can almost stomach it when there's a lefty on the hill, because you're like, okay, he sucks, and we know he sucks. Heck, he probably knows he sucks at this point. But we're going to give him a puncher's chance because we're going to put him against a lefty. You're putting him against a righty with swing and miss stuff. This is a disaster. Unless he just grooves one right across the plate, this is an 0-for-3, 0-for-4 waiting to happen. And I was trying to do some reverse psychology recently, because when I got on to Murphy's case, he has been raking ever since. I've been standing on top of Ozuna's case for 2 weeks. He ain't done nothing. He doesn't have a pulse or anything. It's unbelievable that they can still put him with a straight face, hang that lineup in the locker room and say, Ozuna, you're hitting seventh. They got to change that DH too. It's a DO. He's not a designated hitter. He's designated out. We have designated you are the guy that is going to get the out tonight. I've said this before, but man, I would rather see Max Fried up there pinch hitting, DHing. Max Fried was a pretty decent hitter when given the opportunity, and he would also drop a button. He's got speed. But you can grab anybody off the bench, put him at the DH spot. Vaughn Grissom. My God. Can Travis d'Arnaud not DH? Let's go shake those cobwebs. Come on, man. It's been almost a month. You're teetering on the Tua Tagovailoa territory. I mean, is he going to be back? Is he still telling people he's Batman? What's going on? Does he need a Snickers? What's going on here? All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hit up some other things, including the Hawks. Some other things went on in Major League Baseball you might have missed. We got the NFL draft coming around the corner. It's on Thursday. Tones is on the way, and we are going to do a mega mock in the next hour. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in here on WQEE 99.1 FM. The Dixie Handle Company, five generations of the Strickland family, have produced quality hardwood farm and garden tools, wooden shutters, and custom furniture. This small business has been owned and operated since 1992 and ships to customers across the world. If you're looking for the highest quality tool handles, Dixie Handle Company is your place. Every item is hand-picked to your specifications. If it's made of wood, they do it. Call now, 931-722-3395. That's 931-722-3395. Or go online to DixieHandle.com. The Dixie Handle Company. Welcome to Craftsmanship, a proud sponsor of Braves Country Baseball.
"15 minutes could save you 15% or more."
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope, it's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
No, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
It all starts with just one thing. When recycling, rinse out jars and cans, and avoid recycling wax paper or paper soiled with food. This will reduce recycling contamination. Find tips and more at onethingus.com. What's your one thing?
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia, home of Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks, weekdays, 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern, right here on The Key and YouTube.com at Braves Country.
The decision to have the kids earn their jersey numbers, is there a story behind that? And what are you hoping that creates?
I'm old school. Anybody here over 45, didn't we have to earn every darn thing we got? Ain't nobody gave us nothing. So this whole new thing, first of all, we got this new thing now in college football about double numbers. We didn't have, if somebody gave you a double number in college, that assured that you weren't going to play. that's how it was, wasn't it? Now it's like normal. You got to earn stuff. Ain't nobody giving you nothing. We got kids, they played a snap, you know, and you want to be one. You know what number one meant back in the day for us? That you were that one. Now you got number one getting a frame toe out of him out there on the field. Like, come on, you got to be crazy.
Armchair.
Welcome back, Braves Country Baseball. No, I'm sorry, Braves Country Today. Sorry, I got too many hats that I wear nowadays. Braves Country Today. Braves Country Baseball, we will have the Tuesday night game for you. We're ramping up that schedule. We'll get more into that as it goes on. But this week is a busy, busy week on Braves Country Baseball. So we're going to bring you the Tuesday night game, the Wednesday day game. I think that's a 12:20 first pitch. It's one of those businessmen specials, the getaway day, because we're going to be playing the Marlins four games. That's the fourth game. And then we're getting on a plane heading to New York to take on those Mets. A four-game wraparound series Friday to Monday. And the plan is to bring you every single game of that series right here on Braves Country HD. So it's a Friday night, Saturday afternoon, I believe 4 o'clock, 4:10. I have to double check that because the Mets, all these teams, I talked about that before, but all these teams have such weird ways, times that they start their games, just like the Braves do with the 7:20 thing. And I still say that they all need to get in uniform. Everyone either needs to start their game at 5 past the hour, 10 past, whatever it is, just so we all know. It should be known that in your hometown, your baseball game is going to start at 6:05 or 7:05, whatever they decide, local time. And that just be kind of the way it's going to be. Or 6:10. The 20 minutes is goofy. That's just way too long. But, yeah, we're 7:20 tonight, 7:20 tomorrow night. We'll have that game right here on Braves Country HD. And then Thursday, it's probably 12:20. Yeah, it's 12:20. And then the Mets series, they start at 10 after the hour. That is 7:10 on Friday. All these games will have 4:05 on Saturday. And then Sunday, 1:40. Imagine keeping up with that if you're a Mets fan. 10 after, 5 after, 40 after. And then Monday, another early game for the Braves. It's a Monday 1:10 game. So I expect you to remember absolutely zero of this, but it'll be 7:10, 4:05, 1:40, and 1:10 during the Mets series, and we're going to bring them all to you. And during that time period, so basically from this coming Thursday until the following Tuesday, we will bring every single game of Braves Country Baseball to you. And, well, we won't get too into the weeds of what it'll look like next week. But next week we've got a busy week as well, as they're playing the Marlins. And then next weekend we're going to welcome in. So we go after we play the Marlins here in Atlanta for 4. Then we go to New York for 4, Miami for 3. So we're going to play the Marlins 7 times over the next week. 10 days. And then we come back home and we're going to host the Orioles. And that homestand, thankfully, there's an actual day off built into the homestand. I mean, this early schedule has been brutal for the Braves. I mean, just very rare days off. And that's, and look, it took its toll in the bullpen this weekend. But you got the Red Sox coming in as well in early May. So Red Sox and Orioles. So after we do this sandwich of Marlins, Mets, Marlins, then we're going to welcome in the AL East of Red Sox and Orioles. Looking forward to that. And we're actually planning on, me and my wife and a few others are planning on going up to Boston for the Red Sox Braves series, but that's not until late July. We'll make sure to tell everyone about that as that gets close. As obviously, it'll be very difficult to do the games in Fenway Park if we're sitting in Fenway Park, because I don't think they're going to welcome us in with open arms and give me a booth right there and say, oh, yeah, man, go ahead and load your stuff up. Can we help you? So that's what the Braves look like over the next couple of weeks. And after that, we go back out on the road again. And strangely enough, it's the AL East again. We're heading to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays. Middle of May. Now, this is a weird one. Why do we go all the way up to Toronto and then backtrack and head back to Texas? Shouldn't we have played Toronto when we were up there messing around with the Mets? Not that everybody really wants that. Nobody really wants to see that Toronto offense after you played the Mets a 4-game series. But you get my drift as far as the travel. I mean, that's going to be hell on our bullpen anyways. Blue Jays and Rangers. Woo! Those are some stout offenses that we're going to be going into the teeth of in the middle of May. Shout out to anyone who caught us this weekend. We had a really, really good weekend on the Friday and Saturday night ball games. I got the numbers back this morning, and we were pleasantly surprised with all the views and watch hours and whatnot. Didn't expect that big of a following this weekend. But back to what's going on right here, right now. Wanted to touch on a little bit. I've got it pulled up on one of the newest mock drafts that they have in the NFL. Because you got the NFL draft coming, and it's going to be here sooner than later. It's going to be here Thursday. I think we all know come Thursday, the entire sports world is just going to be engulfed in the draft. And look, we're going to cover the draft too. I'm not going to sit here and bash it. Everybody loves the draft, because what the best part about the NFL draft is, it's very simple. People say, well, why do they make such a big deal out of it in the NFL draft, but they don't make a big deal out of it in, you know, baseball draft, basketball draft is eh. Basketball draft really is brutal to watch nowadays. The baseball draft, they're doing better at it. They still have the biggest problem is the fact that not enough people watch college baseball. So you don't really know who these players are. You can read up on it, and that's helped it to a degree, but you don't really know who these players are. The NFL draft is always going to be king, because college football, of all the other sports in college, it's king. People watch college football, so people know who a lot of these guys are. Now, those of us who know way too much about it, that's because we're doing deep dives and we're reading about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so that doesn't necessarily mean that we've actually watched most of these guys play, but we've read up on it, and that's kind of where you get from there, right? But all in all, the NFL draft is always going to be king of any draft, because you know who these players are. And the problem with the NBA draft is, and I believe a lot of sports fans know a lot of these kids in college basketball, more so than they do in baseball. But the problem with the NBA draft is this. Any NBA fan who has followed their sport for any period of time, they know one thing. There's about 5, maybe 7 guys in every draft that actually make a difference long term. And that's a really hard thing to sell to a fan. So you've got the immediate, the top 5, the lottery picks, and even the lottery picks, you're only talking about a third of those guys making a difference. It's usually like 3 or 4 guys in the lottery, and 2 or 3 guys later in the draft, you don't really know who they are, but they'll pan out down the road. But if you looked at lottery picks, if you looked at the top 5 picks in the NBA draft, and maybe we'll do that as we get closer to that. If you look at the NBA draft, the top 5 picks over the last decade, it's a small percentage of guys who've actually remember when the Celtics drafted Tatum and the Celtics drafted Brown, and the Sixers were spitting the bit left and right. Remember they drafted the Markelle Fultz kid and the other kid. Oh, goodness. Ingram. Oh, is that his name? No, not Ingram. Oh, his name's escaping. I can see his face as plain as day. But you've got all these guys that they draft in the NBA high, and they just, for whatever reason, they don't pan out. And there's a million reasons why they don't pan out. But basically, the NBA is a much different animal than college basketball. In college basketball, they play a much different style in college basketball, and it's very difficult to project these guys out. In the NFL, you're drafting kids. And look, not to say that college football is anything close to what the NFL football game is, but there's a lot of comparisons that can be made, and it's easier for fans to identify with who Bryce Young is, who C.J. Stroud is. And most of your football fans who don't even know that much, they still have a very strong opinion on who their team should draft. And whether it's because they've listened to shows or they've read articles or whatever, they're invested, because when they go to talk about it, the biggest thing is every fan has a strong opinion, or at least this is my take on it. Every fan has a strong opinion on who their team should draft, because they just watched their team. They understand what their team need is, and they understand who the top 4 or 5 players are at that position. And it becomes more and more obvious to a fan on what they need if you're in this game, in this day and age, if you lack a quarterback. But the most recent one that I saw here was Bryce Young going to the Panthers, which everyone believes is a done deal, and I do as well. Will Levis going to Texans, Arizona draft. You know, what I did like about this, they didn't do a bunch of trades. Arizona drafts Will Anderson, which I do believe that he is the best defensive player in the draft. Will Anderson going to Arizona at 3. The Colts grabbing C.J. Stroud at 4. And then Tyree Wilson, edge rusher from Texas Tech, going 5. Witherspoon of Illinois going 6. What were some of the other ones that jumped out? Bijan Robinson going to the Atlanta Falcons at 8, and I love that one. I don't think it's going to happen, but it would be fun if it did. Bijan Robinson is a real playmaker. And with the stable of running backs that the Falcons already have, that could be fun. That could be a lot of fun. Then they've got Jalen Carter going to number 9, the Bears. That would be a great fit for the Bears. I don't know if he's going to fall that far, but that would be a great fit for the Bears. I still feel like Jalen Carter is going to end up in Detroit. I don't think he gets past number 6. Because when you have a chance to get a guy who's going to disrupt the line of scrimmage like Carter can, is Detroit really going to pass on that? Dan Campbell seems like the type of guy that wants a Jalen Carter. And then they've got Minnesota drafting Anthony Richardson at 10. And Tennessee drafting the guard Osiris Torrance at 11. I would just be shocked if Anthony Richardson falls as far as 10. And I don't get, and this one here, they did project a trade because the Eagles are actually drafting there. If you're a Tennessee Titan fan and you're thinking, we need to get a quarterback, I would not be complacent and just sit there at 11. I would trade up. If you want one of those top three guys, in my book, it's top three. And that's Young, that's Stroud, and that's Richardson. I'm not a Will Levis guy. I could be horribly wrong about this. I've been wrong about some quarterbacks in the past. I've been right about some quarterbacks in the past. But I just don't think Levis is worth the number 2 pick to Houston. And I think that's going to be a hard sell to their fan base if they draft him. He's not the mobile quarterback that the other three are. And this game is turning into mobile quarterback, a mobile quarterback sport. So I would just be shocked if he falls that far. What are some of the other ones? Peter Skoronski, you know, some of these drafts have him falling to the Falcons. This one has him going to the Jets at 13. But one thing that concerns me, because this has come up with other linemen in other drafts, and it always tends to be an issue. They were saying on Pro Football Focus the other day that his biggest knock, Skoronski, he's got short arms. That's not something you can work on. I mean, that's going to be like Bobby Brady and hanging from the jungle gym. I don't know how you're going to get your arms any longer. So you got short arms. If you have short arms, typically what that means is that they're going to put you at guard. And I don't think guard, offensive guard, is worth a top 15 pick. And I darn sure don't think it's worth a top 8 pick with the Falcons at 8. When we did our mock draft earlier this month, we had him going pretty high, but I had not seen that about his arm length, and that's concerning. Not that he can't be a good player. He can probably be a really good guard. But I'm not drafting a guard. If I'm drafting an offensive lineman that high in the draft, I want a tackle. I want a right tackle or a left tackle, preferably. but I want a tackle that I can sit on my ends for the next 10 years, and that can be a pair of bookends that my quarterback can stand back there and not worry about getting his head blown off by an inside rush. Everybody's got Joey Porter Jr. either going to the Commanders at 16 or the Steelers at 17. What was the other one that Jordan Addison, wide receiver, going to the Buffalo Bills? That's an interesting one to me. Jackson Smith Jigba going to the Ravens at 22. This was NFL. Was this Pro Football Focus or was this NFL? This is NFL. NFL.com's. The other one, Zay Flowers. Oh, man, Zay Flowers to Kansas City. Woo, look out. That is hot coffee coming in. Zay Flowers gets mixed up with Patrick Mahomes. If you haven't watched Zay Flowers play when at Boston College, Zay Flowers is an elite receiver. He's going to be a problem for anyone on the next level. You Giants fans, you got Jalin Hyatt from the Tennessee Volunteers who can really stretch the field going to the Giants at 25. Cowboy fans, you got Trent Simpson, linebacker from Clemson, going at 26. I thought there was another one that jumped out at me at the first. This one, I haven't gone much higher. This one has Miles Murphy going to the number 29 pick to the Saints. If he falls to the Saints at 29, that's an absolute steal. Miles Murphy was a problem for anyone that played Clemson all throughout his college career. Here's an interesting one. Hendon Hooker, number 30 overall, with a projected trade with the Eagles going to the Las Vegas Raiders. Everybody's got the Raiders drafting a quarterback high in the draft. Why did they go out and get Jimmy G if they're going to go out there and spend money? I mean, spend a number one pick. If you go out there and get Jimmy G, not saying you don't draft a quarterback, but aren't you going to draft a quarterback a little later in the draft? Are you really going to go out there and go bananas and say, well, we got to get out here and we got to throw? If you get Jimmy G and you're trying to turn it around and trying to make some kind of a playoff run, this is very Jordan Love-like, where you go and you draft a quarterback. Totally different situation that you have in Tennessee, where the Titans have a quarterback on his way out. A 1 year left with Tannehill. They draft a quarterback. Look, it is what it is, guy. We got to look out for the future. Jimmy G just came in. Drafting a quarterback, to me, it seems kind of goofy. Almost like, was a Raiders fan doing this draft? That's all I'm saying. All right, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, Tones is on the way. We're going to do our mock draft cram session. We're doing about 8 or 9 picks next hour. Keep it locked in here, and we're going to get into our picks of the night for Major League Baseball and look at the lines for the NHL, the NBA. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in here to 99.1 FM and Braves Country HD on YouTube.
Armchair.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.
Armchair.
You're listening to the Armchair Quarterback Sports Radio, number one sports station.
Good afternoon, and this is your Armchair Quarterbacks Sports Flash. Major League Baseball, Monday evening, pretty big slate, and none more important than 7:20 first pitch, Marlins at Braves. Atlanta Braves will send Spencer Strider to the mound, Cabrera for the Marlins. Strider comes in 2-0 with a 2.45 ERA. Cabrera, 1-1 and a 4.08. Other games around the diamond, Rockies at Guardians at 6, Gomber versus Quantrill, Red Sox and Orioles, 6:35, Chris Sale versus Kramer, Astros and Rays at 6:40, Urquidy versus Taj Bradley, the rookie phenom, Eovaldi versus Lodolo, as the Rangers invade Cincinnati to take on the Reds. White Sox and Blue Jays, 7:07, Lynn and Bassett go head-to-head with a combined 13 ERA. Tigers and Brewers, Detroit Boyd goes to the hill. Milwaukee, it's Ray. And also at 7:40, Yankees and Twins, Brito versus Sonny Gray. Sonny Gray comes into the night 2-0 with a .82 ERA. At 9:38 on FS1, A's at Angels. Waldichuk and Suarez head-to-head. And the Royals and Diamondbacks at 9:40, Keller versus Henry. 9:45, the late pitch in Major League Baseball. The St. Louis Cardinals travel to San Francisco to take on the Giants at Oracle Park. It'll be Cobb versus Montgomery out in the Bay. NBA playoffs tonight, Bucks at the Heat. Miami leads the series 2-1. Bucks come in a 7.5-point favorite, over-under 218.5. And the Grizzlies are back at it with the Lakers, 10 o'clock on TNT. L.A., 4.5-point favorite, over-under 222. Lakers lead the series 2-1. On the ice, you got four tonight. On TBS, Maple Leafs and Lightning at 7:30. Toronto leads the series 2-1. 7 o'clock on ESPN, Devils and Rangers, New York, hosting with a 2-1 series lead. At 9:30 on the four-letter, Golden Knights are at the Jets. Vegas, a 2-1 series advantage. While the late drop at 10 Eastern, TBS, the Avalanche, leading the series 2-1 against the Kraken, they're in Seattle tonight. And Drew Maggie sat across the Allegheny River from PNC Park in Pittsburgh on Saturday night. The 33-year-old infielder arrived in Pittsburgh around 7 p.m. after just being called up by the Pittsburgh Pirates from AA, Altoona. Maggie, looking to possibly make his major league debut, is reminiscing as he started out to the ballpark. Quote, a lot of staring at the roof Sunday morning, just kind of a lot of thought. I thought about different moments and how crazy it is. From my hotel room, I can see the stadium. A lot of sitting in the chair looking out, just like being, wow, I'm finally here. Maggie was selected with outfielder Brian Reynolds going on the bereavement list. It's been a long road for Drew Maggie, who played 1,155 games across 13 minor league seasons. Quote, I always believed this moment would come. There's a little bit of me that was like, you know what? You love playing baseball. Keep going no matter what. Unquote. Maggie has 6 hits and 31 at-bats and 3 RBIs in Altoona this season. A career batting average of .254, 45 home runs, 354 RBIs. Maggie, in tears in his locker stall, received a round of applause and several hugs from his teammates when he arrived. And the NBA is investigating Hawks guard DeJounte Murray's actions towards officials at the end of the Atlanta's 129-121 home loss to the Boston Celtics in Game 4 of the Eastern Conference first-round series. Murray, who had 23 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists in 40 minutes during Sunday's game, which saw the Celtics take a 3-1 series lead, appeared to make contact with a referee as Murray was walking off the floor. Murray then turned back and pointed and yelled at someone before exiting the court. Murray did not speak to reporters after Sunday's game. In these situations, the NBA typically makes a decision on discipline before the next game in the series. The Hawks will face the Celtics in Boston Tuesday night, and another Celtics victory will move them to the semifinals versus the 76ers. Murray is averaging 25.3 points, 7.3 rebounds, 5.8 assists, and 2.3 steals through 4 games in the series. He is in the first season with the Hawks after being acquired in a blockbuster trade with the San Antonio Spurs last summer. And that's your Armchair Quarterback Sports Flash. Stay tuned for Braves Country right here on WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Newnan, Georgia, simulcasting on YouTube.com at Braves Country. Hey, Braves Country. Braves Country HD is bringing you Braves Country Baseball. Braves Country comes to you every Tuesday night and Friday night in 2 bonus games every week. Hi, I'm Mac McGee. We'll be bringing you play-by-play, pitch-by-pitch of your Atlanta Braves. It's free to listen. Please like and subscribe. YouTube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country Baseball, for the fans, by the fans.
It's the best in sports and entertainment. And get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Friday, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
Want to chime in? Give us a call. 678-960-9700. That's 678-960-9700. Welcome back. Joel Embiid, diagnosed with sprained LCL, will be reevaluated midweek. That'll be interesting there. Man, that guy always seems to be injured. We're showing the video of how it happened. I believe he was tying his shoe and he sprained his LCL. But Hawks, Celtics, game 5 will be tomorrow in Boston. And I keep checking, refreshing to see if there's any kind of information on this. If you missed this, DeJounte Murray, really strange situation where he's leaving the court. Is at the end of the game, Atlanta had lost 129 to 121 for those who didn't watch it. And the Celtics go up 3-1. This game is in Atlanta. And Murray, by the way, has had a very good series. 23 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists yesterday. Played 40 minutes. So this isn't, for those of y'all who don't follow this, this isn't like a ho-hum, no big deal. They should be okay without him. They lose DeJounte Murray, and I don't think Atlanta's going to win tomorrow anyways, but your chances dwindle drastically. But there's a video of, as he's leaving the court, he bumps into the referee as he was walking off the court. And then he turned back and yelled something, but also he almost kind of like tried to jump at him. I'm doing it on YouTube. You can't see it on radio, but that whole, act like you're going to do something like that to a referee. Not a good look. Not a good look at all. And I would suspect he's going to get suspended. I don't know why they haven't announced it yet. It says the NBA is investigating. What is there to investigate? If the referee had voluntarily joined in a game of check-in with DeJounte Murray, I mean, what is there to investigate? But the other thing is, assuming he's going to be suspended a game, why wouldn't you tell the Hawks ahead of time? Because they're about to get on a plane to head towards Boston to get ready for tomorrow night's game. If you're going to suspend him, why even have him get on the plane? So if I'm the Hawks, I'm calling them and saying, hey, because you know they're not going to wait until after the game tomorrow to make the announcement. So they're going to make the suspension, assuming that there's a suspension. They're going to make the suspension announcement before the game. Why not go ahead and tell the Hawks ahead of time? Keeps him from having to get on the plane, but it also prevents a lot of the other nonsense where you land in Boston, you got the media there wanting to ask about why he tried to punk out an aging referee. Anyways, terrible look for the whole thing. Back to baseball real quick. Tone's about to join us, and we're going to jump into the NFL draft. Braves, as you see over my shoulder, they lead the National League East by a half game because the Mets lost again to the Giants. And you got to love that, because while we're getting our nose mashed by the defending world champions, the Mets are out there losing to a pretty bad Giants team. That was their first back-to-back wins of the year. That tells you anything about the Giants. And I think we're catching the Mets at a pretty good clip. They're saying that Justin Verlander probably has one more rehab start, and then he'll be ready to come back and, well, make his debut as a New York Met. And that rehab start won't take place until Friday, which means Justin Verlander will probably, the way it plays out is that he would probably be coming back somewhere around May 3rd. And if you look at why they may wait till that, the Mets are playing at his old team, the Detroit Tigers. So I believe we're going to dodge Verlander. We're probably going to get Scherzer on that last game of the series, that Monday afternoon game at 1. The way it's being projected right now, it'll be Bryce Elder versus Max Scherzer. And normally you'd say, well, advantage New York Mets, but Bryce Elder's pitched pretty darn good, hasn't he? And Max Scherzer is not. And if he was pitching well, he wouldn't be putting sticky stuff all over his hands. We got Tones coming in, so let me go ahead and join him into the stream here, and I'll get this off the board. Try to get this kind of set up a little normal. Tampa Tones, how are you today, sir?
Good, brother. It's Monday. We got a boatload of playoff games tonight, and we have a boatload of baseball tonight around the diamond. And I'm heading to some Monday Night Raw wrestling tonight, so it's going to be an exciting night for Monday for me.
Ah, good old Monday Night Raw wrestling. Yes, we'll be doing the breakdown at 5:01 today on that.
I am a little pissed with how the schedule's aligned. I do miss the Lightning tonight, but I'm hoping they could get a victory while maybe I'm bad luck, you know?
So the Lightning are playing tonight?
Yes, sir, at 7:30 Eastern, puck drop.
No, I'm trying to figure out what your issue is. So you got the Lightning playing tonight. What are the other things that are keeping you from watching the Lightning?
Well, I'll be at Monday Night Raw.
You don't have two devices?
I do have no, I'm saying I'll be there in person.
Oh, you're going to the Grab Ass event.
Correct.
Oh, I didn't know you were going to go play Grab Ass. I thought you were just going to watch Grab Ass on the TV.
I'm spectating the Grab Ass in my chair, in my tight chair, may I say. But I'll be there, man.
So it's in Chicago?
Yes, sir. It's right outside of Chicago at Allstate Arena in Rosemont. So it's pretty much Chicago.
Okay. Well, that's pretty cool, I guess, if you're into that kind of stuff.
Should be interesting one way or another. I guess, you know, Bad Bunny is supposed to be there for any musician fans out there. So it'll be interesting. We'll see. But I miss playoff hockey. That's the one downside. I mean,
okay. So now I get where you're coming from. I thought you had. Okay.
And this happened last year, actually.
You got your phone. You can stream it on your phone as you're sitting in there. How far back are you from the rink, or the ring, I guess?
I think we're like 18 to 20 rows off. We're in the 100 level, a little bit back and off.
Well, all I can tell you is I would look for you, but I don't think my TV gets that stuff. I think my TV's allergic to that kind of I've tried to put it on before, and somehow my wife grabs the remote and turns it off immediately. So something tells me that I won't be able to catch your but if you do end up on the tube, send it to me and we'll figure something out about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And
the Cubs off today?
Yeah. Yep, they're off today, so thank gosh.
And the Bulls, they're off, so the only thing you're missing is the Lightning.
Yeah, the Bulls are done for, well, the foreseeable future. They're shelved. They're put on a shelf. They might be done for years. Hopefully not.
I'll tell you what you're missing that I think is bigger than that, man. Rays Astros tonight, 6:40.
Oh, man, I am mad I'm missing that one as well. Between the Lightning and the Rays Astros, oof, man.
Woody versus Bradley. I'm curious to see what Bradley does.
I like Taj Bradley a lot. He's kind of a guy who has sundered up their system.
He's got 17 strikeouts and 10 innings pitched.
I think he's going to be really good. And, you know, the Rays are one of those teams like the Braves and like the Guardians. Those three franchises can just, you know, mold a good pitcher into a great pitcher, an okay pitcher into a good pitcher. When you're the Braves, Rays, or Guardians, you really never seem to worry about starting pitch in depth.
Well, we could use some. By the way, so Soroka had another good outing, and there's talk now that Soroka may be coming up to join the bullpen in the very short future.
And that would be exciting for you guys. You think that would be a permanent bullpen fixture, or would they stretch him out?
Not permanent, but maybe long-term this year, unless there's an injury.
Hey, and if you could, my philosophy has always been this. It'd be ideal to get those guys to start, but as long as you're getting your top arms on the field one way or another, that's a win.
I mean, look, I'm in favor of a six-man rotation, but every time it's gotten brought up, every time it has gotten brought up to Anthopoulos, he always seems to go back on the whole, it's really hard to navigate your bullpen when you only have seven guys in there and you got six in your rotation. So, and look, I get that. The only thing about Soroka is if you put him in the bullpen and you start going, let's say 4, 5, 6 weeks and he's in the bullpen, the only thing that you're really limiting yourself is if there is an injury and you want a spot start, he's not really available to do that because he's not stretched out. So the only way to do this would be when he comes in, let him throw two innings.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe almost after that, you go and have him throw another inning or two down below and you only use him once to twice a week.
And it seems like, McGee, not to change topics here, but the Aaron Rodgers trade seems to be official, according to Adam Schefter, and the compensation is out for that.
You see that now. Okay.
It says the Jets are getting Aaron Rodgers, pick number 15, and a wow. So the Jets get Rodgers, pick number 15, and a 2023 fifth-round pick, and the Packers get pick number 13, a 2023 second-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and a conditional 2024 second-round pick that becomes a first-round pick if Rodgers plays at least 65% of the plays next season.
65% of what you cut out?
Of offensive plays next season.
Not this coming season, but the season after.
Yes, that's what I'm making sense of it, at least. So it's interesting to see. I can't believe the Jets got pick number 15 back along with Rodgers.
Well, that's been the big stipulation going on for the last 10 days or so, was that they were wanting to flip picks. But then the other question came. So it was almost a given that they were going to flip picks because the Jets have a pick just a little higher than the Packers.
Mm-hmm.
But the big question was, now what pick did they end up trading?
So the Jets got the 15th pick and a 2023 fifth round pick, and the Packers got the 13th pick and pick number 42 in the second round.
42. Okay. Cause we're about to hit that pick. And so that's why I was curious. All right, let's take a really quick break and reset. When we come back, we got ourselves a cram session on the NFL mock draft. We got you about 8 or 9 picks that we're going to rattle off here. We'll be back in a flash here on Braves Country. Keep it locked in here on the Key.
Hey, Sox fans, it's Rod Peterson here, host of the Rod Peterson Show, inviting you to join us daily for 2 hours of Atlanta's funnest sports talk right here on WQEE. I say fun because it is. You've never heard a show like it because we make the listeners a part of the show every day between noon and 2 p.m. Eastern. You'll hear plenty of the best sports talk, including the latest on the Falcons, the Braves, and more. And who knows, you might even hear you. That's the Rod Peterson Show, daily at noon, right here on WQEE 99.1 FM.
Enjoy sun-drenched days, epic stays, and plenty of room to roam in Greater Fort Lauderdale. Our hotels, attractions, and restaurants have taken the Visit Lauderdale Safe and Clean pledge so you can relax and explore with confidence. When you're ready for that well-deserved staycation, our 23 miles of golden beaches await. Find wide-open spaces to hike, bike, kayak, and paddleboard. Visit your favorite attractions, then dine out in style in dining rooms or al fresco on waterfront patios. Learn more at sunny.org.
It's the best in sports and entertainment, and get locked in and locked down with Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. with your host, me, Ryan O'Neill, each and every morning right here with the best in sports and entertainment, all the way from professional sports to college sports to River Dragons hockey and everything in between, including some of the very best local and national guests. It's the Rhino Radio Penitentiary, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., Monday through Fridays, right here on 99.1 FM WQEE.
At the tone, leave your name and message. I'll get back to you.
This is Shirley from the bank. The answers are no, no, and yes. No, we won't loan you money. No, we won't accept any cosigners. And yes, your account's overdrawn. I get off at 4:30.
Welcome back. I'm trying to figure out the best way to share this, Tones. I think it might be to change it to make the share size. But there we go. So we have got the NFL draft here, and I've gone ahead and changed it on the screen there. So you see now that the Jets have the number 11 pick in the second round. No longer, it was Jets back to back on 11 and 12 pick, but now it's Green Bay, Jets, Atlanta, and then Green Bay again. That still kind of works out for us because Tones has both of the Green Bay's pick and the Jets pick. Originally, I had Tones doing Jets, and then I've got Atlanta, and then he was going to do Green Bay. But now it all works out because I like it when the team's getting drafted by the same person if they have two picks in the same area. That way it kind of goes with one, you know, so we don't get a couple of knuckleheads that both draft wide receivers or something within two picks of each other or something. So, with no further ado, the NFL mock draft, the slow burn draft. We started this about 2.5 years ago. We are on pick number 11 in the second round. And I'm curious to see where you are going to go, sir, with this first pick with the Green Bay Packers now. And I know that threw you a curveball, so hopefully you're able to adjust.
I think I'm able to adjust pretty good here. And I made some picks, believe it or not. I used my brain for once. No, just kidding. I made picks that would be pretty compatible for both teams, fits the need of both teams. So I have the Packers adding here to their defense and stacking up a little bit. They're a little thin at the inside linebacker position. I don't think Devondre Campbell is going to be cut for the long haul there. I think Quay Walker is a nice one on the inside, on the right side, but then you got Devondre Campbell. I'm not sure if they're going to be happy with him as a starter. He might be more of a backup. So I got the Green Bay Packers with this overall pick selecting Trenton Simpson, linebacker out of Clemson. He could play the hybrid position. A lot of folks say he could play. He's one of those guys who's, could play safety, could play linebacker, could be very versatile to a defense. So like we've seen the other year where Atlanta nabbed that kid very high from Clemson, the jack of all trades. Here we see the Packers doing the same thing with hopes that Trenton Simpson could be an Isaiah Simmons type figure.
All right, that was with the Green Bay Packers. If you're just joining us, the Packers have traded made a trade with the Jets, and they now own the 11th pick in the second round. As the Jets gave that as compensation, as Aaron Rodgers is now officially a New York Jet.
crazy. And we knew this was coming, but now that it's finally here, it's starting to feel pretty real.
Yeah, I was starting to wonder if it was going to happen before the draft actually took place, but it really, as much as they try to, as much as they try to play hardball, it was going to really hurt more than anyone else. It was going to hurt the Packers if they didn't get this trade done by Thursday. And, you know, the other thing I would love to know, of course, we'll probably never hear this until the dust has settled years and years later, but I would love to know, like, what were they trying to get? Because I think that's a pretty fair trade across the board.
I think it's pretty fair as well. I will say this. I like it a lot for the Jets because this is one of the – I like it for both sides. I think the Jets get great value. I'm sure at first there were maybe talks that they would maybe just get Aaron Rodgers, but the fact you get some draft picks back with Aaron Rodgers, I know you got to give up a little more on your end now, but, man, I think that's a decent trade all around, but I do like the return for the Jets.
So to clean it up real quick, because I don't have it in front of me, they're going to swap picks in the first round. They're going to get the Jets. Packers get the Jets pick in the second round. And then what was the rest of the compensation?
So one more time here. Let's see. It says Jets get Aaron Rodgers, pick number 15, and pick number.
Yeah. I already cleaned that up. They're just switching picks in the first round.
Yeah. And then
the weeds and confusing people. Jets and Packers are flip-flopping picks in the first round, and obviously Aaron Rodgers is going to the Jets. We get that.
And pick number 170 is going to the Jets, and then Packers get
number 170? What round is that?
That's a fifth rounder in this year's draft.
So the Jets are getting Rodgers, a fifth-round pick, and then they're going to slide down a few slots in the first round. The Packers are getting the Jets' first-round pick, so they're just flip-flopping a second-round pick,
which is number 42, and then pick number 207, which is a sixth-round pick, and then a conditional 2024 second-round pick that can turn into a first.
Oh, that's okay. So that's got to do with 65% of this year's snaps.
Correct.
Well, when I asked you earlier if that was for the following year, that's not.
Yeah, it wasn't really clear, but now it seems like, let's see what Schefter really nails down, because this is Adam Schefter's tweet, and he says, let's see, it sounds like it will be
a conditional second-round pick.
Yeah, it's coming up for this coming season. So if he plays 65% this year.
Well, that's interesting. I thought it was being played off of whether or not they were getting him for a 1 year, or is he coming to the Jets for 2 years?
That's right? What I thought. And it seems like he's going to change numbers as well to number 8, which is the college.
He can't wear the number he's got, because the number he's been wearing, 12, is retired. That's Joe Namath's number.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter tweets out, although Hall of Fame quarterback Joe Namath gave Aaron Rodgers his blessing to wear number 12, Aaron Rodgers wants to wear number 8, the number he wore in college at Cal.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers knows not to wear. You don't wear Joe Namath's number. That's bad juju.
I agree.
It's not like. Never mind. That's a really bad example. If it was a guy that played 80 years ago, he's been passed away for 20. I could almost see it, and like the family says, "Hey, it's okay to wear it." Then you could see a guy doing that. But it's not far enough. Remember something, too. People can tear apart his career all they want. Joe Namath is the only guy to ever win a Super Bowl in a Jets uniform.
Mm-hmm.
So I just – and it's funny. There was a guy I heard him talking the other day on a show, and he hit the nail on the head. There was a bunch of Jets jerseys, and one of them was on sale. Elijah Moore's number was on sale. It was like, I don't know, 25%. It was like, so it's like 75% off.
Mm-hmm.
And he told his son, get it. He goes, why don't I want Elijah Moore's number? He said, because it's number 8, and that's probably what Rodgers is going to wear, and we'll just take it down to some friend of theirs or whatever and get the name changed. Boom! He got it, baby.
That's genius. And regardless, that's
genius.
I mean, regardless, even though, you know, odds are you probably don't want an Elijah Moore, but worst case scenario, you get yourself a cheap Jets jersey.
Yeah, I personally wouldn't know how to do that without, like, breaking out duct tape and some cardboard.
And you could tell Pete Prisco thought, like, I did originally, because he goes, so if Rodgers plays one season, plays entire season, and then quits, the Jets give up a second and a first to rent him. So you could tell people are thinking, wait, maybe the stipulation should have been for the second season, not the first.
That's where I would have been if I were the Jets.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like Rodgers, you know as well as anyone, McGee, if things go south this year in New York, he's gone next year.
I would even have said, hey, I'll tell you what, if he plays 50% of the snaps in 2024, I'll give you a 1.
Yeah.
Because if he plays well enough, that 1's damn near a 2 anyways.
Yeah, I agree.
Hey, maybe that's how they're looking at it, is if he plays well enough, that second round pick in 24 is basically a 3.
Right.
But I believe that he's going to play 2 years in New York as much as I believe Marcell Ozuna is going to go 4 for 4 tonight with 3 RBIs and 2 dingers.
So you're saying there's a chance?
I'm saying there's no chance. No. I got to see it to believe it. Mm-hmm. I think he's all caught up in the, yay, I'm going to New York. But is he going to get along with New York media? Because he's a prima donna of the highest hour. All right, we got to get into this cram session, my guy. As I know I put a lot on you. The pick is in and Tones is on it.
With the next pick, and this one not to be confused with anything else, is actually the New York Jets pick. So with the New York Jets selection in round 2, pick number 12 in round 2, I'm going with the new tight end. I'm going with a little weapon for Mr. Aaron Rodgers. I'm going with Sir Dalton Kincaid, tight end out of Utah. And I like this pick for the Jets. This guy had a mammoth game against USC, put up Travis Kelce-like numbers, and really inserted himself on the map there. I mean, when you explode for almost 200 yards in a college game, a couple of tutties when you go to Utah, odds are you're going to make a lot of people eyes light up. And that's exactly what Dalton Kincaid did. And I think Aaron Rodgers is very happy for the Jets to draft him. One of the best, if not the best, tight end entering this year's draft.
Dalton Kincaid. All right.
The big man from Utah. And this guy really caught the eyes. Like I said, against USC, he exploded onto the scene. And that's really where he took off in the upcoming draft.
All right, so Dalton Kincaid heading to New York.
The partner with Rod.
I almost wonder. I'm going to throw a scenario at you. I almost wonder if what held this up was the Packers thinking they were going to get both of the second round picks.
Yeah, and that could be, because maybe they would have equaled that value as equal to a one first round pick, which at one point they were seeking then. A straight first round pick.
Yeah, I could see it happening, and something was holding this up where it took this damn long, I guess is where I'm getting at. Cause I feel like this took way too long for what little was given back on both ends.
Yeah, I think it took
way too long. It was a month ago.
And it was already reported, right, that it was probably going to be done as well. So it, really something had to fall apart in a hurry, and then both sides pretty much knew, well, we got to make this happen or else we're, Packers would be stuck with Rodgers and the Jets would be stuck with, well, Zach Wilson.
Absolutely. Okay, so Dalton Kincaid from Utah, and now we go to – Oh, I keep taking my glasses off. I can't see what I'm doing without it. The pick is in for the Atlanta Falcons. And I'm looking at the Falcons here. And let's see what has fallen to Atlanta here. We've done so many of these. I'm trying to remember. Do you have in front of you what Atlanta's already picked in this draft?
Yes, sir. They took Jackson Smith from Ohio State, the wide receiver there.
Okay. I couldn't remember where they went. So, with that being said, that almost tells me this is a... All right. And is Gibbs still out there? Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama.
He is gone. The running back, he went. I took him last Friday. He is newly gone. Okay.
That's okay. I'm going to go. I'm pretty sure he's still here. Zach Charbonnet.
Yep. He is still there, my friend.
Running back from UCLA. I'm going to go ahead and take Zach Charbonnet, running back from UCLA. Really like his. Just overall game. Gibbs would have been a good home run guy to get, but Charbonnet is a little bigger, 6 foot, 214 pounds. And one of the things that has been loved about him at the combine and everything is he's great out of the backfield with the passing game. So you put him in there with Algier. I think you're building something pretty cool. I still think there's a very good chance that they're going to end up doing – the Bijan Robinson. I feel like the Falcons are going to make a splash with their first pick.
I could see that. And Bijan Robinson has been labeled by some, not all, but some, as a generational talent. But I think an Algier, Patterson, and Charbonnet backfield would be incredible too. So I don't think you could go wrong there. Algier had a nice little rookie season last year. But if Bijan lives up to the hype, that would be a game changer in the first round.
All right. So the next pick is in, and that is you with the Green Bay Packers, right? That, no, wait a minute. Did that one move?
Nope. This is again Green Bay now. Yes, sir. So with the first one was the Jets to Green Bay. This one is actually Green Bay's, and it's staying with Green Bay.
Okay. You got the Green Bay Packers, 14th overall or 14th pick in the second round, which is number 45, because there were only 31 picks this year in the first round.
This is one of those tongue twisters, right? Between Jets, Packers, the trade that just happened, we're alternating draft picks here. The Jets had so many close second-round picks back-to-back together. But, yes, the Packers here. I had the Jets taking a tight end last time. I got the Packers doing the same thing this time. When you look at the Packers' depth chart, there is just little to be had in that tight end room. They tried taking a mid-round one in Jace Sternberg a couple years back. Well, he's already off the Packers for a couple of seasons now. Mercedes Lewis, longtime veteran tight end there, he is now in New York. So the Packers' current tight ends on their depth chart are Josiah DeGuara, Tyler Davis, Austin Allen, and Nick Gugamos. For that reason, I'm going tight end, and I'm going with the big target here, Sam Laporta, tight end from Iowa. Anytime you draft a tight end from Iowa, look at Hockenson, look at Scott Chandler, Dallas Clark, Noah Fant, George Kittle. They have the potential, and here I think Sam Laporta lies the same potential. Last year, with pretty much one of the worst quarterbacks in the country for a D1 college we've seen, he still put up really productive numbers. I think Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers find themselves a very good young tight end here you could build a rapport with.
All right, I like it. Give me a second. I'm having to look. I've got a sec. That list you see in front of you, I have a secondary list, because the problem is I can't scroll up and down my list to check where everyone is. I didn't think about this because we're sharing it on the screen. So, big flaw in my what I'm doing here with my draft. Okay, so New England Patriots, they went with Jones, offensive tackle from Georgia, the 14th overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm trying to figure out is, I don't think he's a Patriots type of guy. Let me see what their main needs this year, the Patriots, is. I mean, honestly, what they really need is a wide receiver because they lost Myers to free agency. A cornerback or an edge rusher. That's what we're really looking at here. You know the next thing that they need to add when it comes to this? When you're doing these mock drafts, they need to have a cheat sheet that every time you take a guy out, like, you can remove him. Yeah. Almost like a real draft, but one's for mock drafts. Because mock drafts are getting so popular now, and people love playing around with them. They really ought to think about that.
Correct. And I think that'd be a great idea. Hey, maybe me and you should edit that part out. No, I'm kidding.
I had near the technological skills to be able to pull something like that off. I would say, let's do it. Something tells me I've got enough. I've got 9 monitors in here trying to run a radio show. Something tells me I add one more thing to this plate, and we're going to start a small forest fire. Smokey the Bear is going to show up in my backyard going, what are you doing down there, bud?
No Braves country today. We're fighting fires, fellas.
Fighting fires down here in Braves country. That's we're alive. Okay, so all right, so the way I've got this lined up here is I really think they need I just feel like that they got to go wide receiver here. I really do. What I was trying to figure out, Cedric Tillman, is he still there?
I believe he is. I have not seen his name yet.
I don't think he's gone either. He's
He's not gone.
He's 6'3", 213 pounds, wide receiver out of Tennessee, and he seems like a New England Patriot guy.
The other Tennessee wide receiver went Hyatt, but not right. Tillman.
Right, I knew that, but I couldn't remember if so I'm gonna go ahead with the 15th pick of the second round, the New England Patriots select wide receiver Cedric Tillman. And the reason why I say he seems like a Patriots guy, he's got the size. They don't tend to draft receivers that don't have size. There's a couple of receivers that are ranked high in this year's draft. And you may agree or disagree, but the point is they're ranked high. And I just don't know if I'm buying that. A shorter receiver, and where is he listed at here? The one that I had on my radar, not Dell, Nathaniel Dell out of Houston. I know a lot of folks are big on him. I mean, he's 5'8". When was the last time you remember seeing a receiver in New England that wasn't like a big, tall receiver?
I can't. I mean,
you know, I mean, it seems like that they always have the tall receivers that they go after. And I don't see a Nathaniel Dell working well in the Patriots offense.
The only two types were opposite type of receivers than Dell. They were possession receivers, Welker and Amendola. And other than that, they go for the big boys.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So there's that pick. And so that would be, as I put it here, I'll put it in the chat real quick. So that is going to pass the ball back to you, right?
Yes, sir. That leaves the Commanders with the
second. You got the Commies with no owner, no ownership group, nothing.
I should have picked myself for them here. I mean, why not?
Why not?
Oh. I could help out in the front office too.
So where are you going with the number 16 pick here in the second round?
Well, this one was a little puzzling because I felt like they need a quarterback, but with Hendon Hooker and the rest of the fellas gone, I feel like it would have been a stretch to the next quarterback, whoever you might have ranked next, whether it's DTR, Duggan, the kid out of Stanford, whether it's Malik Cunningham. I don't feel like any of them are second-round material, and that'd be quite the jump. So they have Sam Howell. They have Brissett. I think they'll worry about a quarterback later. I got them taking a guy who protects the quarterback here. They had a terrible offensive line last year. They got Carson Wentz and Sam Howell killed back there when they played. I'm going with the big man who's missing two teeth from being so damn tough out of North Dakota State, Cody Mauch from North Dakota State. He could play guard. He could play tackle. This guy is nasty. He came in to college football as a tight end, leaving as an offensive lineman. And like I said, he's had two teeth missing, and his reason for not replacing him is, why would I do that? So the man who lost his teeth is a young one in a accident, violence. That's what he brings to the table, and I think that's what he's going to bring to Washington. Cody Mauch from North Dakota State.
6 foot five, 302 pounds, North Dakota State.
The guy looks like he just doesn't wash his dishes. He doesn't shower. He'll slam doors in your face. He looks nasty.
He sounds like a pro wrestler. Is that why you like him?
No, I've seen a couple Bucks fans that were like, oh, the Bucks should be all over this guy. So then I dove deep, and I'm like, this guy is a man. He's been battling his butt off for years now. And he does fit a pro wrestler's build. You're not lying about that.
All right, so that's going to take us to the Detroit Lions. And what in the heck just happened? Okay. Detroit Lions loading up here. And Dalton Kincaid is off the board. I feel like they've got to get a tight end. Now I'm trying to remember. Didn't Michael Meyer go off the board?
He did in round one.
Okay, that's what I thought. How do you not love a guy like by the name of Michael Meyer? By the way,
he'd be scary out there. He went to Cincinnati, and Brian was really happy with that pick. I remember.
So I believe Darnell Washington is still available.
Yes, tight end
from University of Georgia.
He's out there.
6 foot six, 264 pounds, a 4.64 in the 40. And he's just a massive kid. And look, they need help at the tight end position after trading away TJ.
TJ Hawkinson.
Yeah, sorry, I just drew a blank here. TJ Hawkinson, they're going to need help in the tight end position. And what is unique about this guy with his size is that he actually makes guys miss after the catch, which I think is he could be an athletic freak in the NFL. So I'm going with the tight end from Georgia, Darnell Washington. I'll clean this up once I get past my pick because I can't do six. I can only do five and a half things at a time. But I'll eventually get all this stuff on the screen. But I'm just trying to jot it down as we go. So I also did a terrible job and gave myself the number 18 pick because I was trying not to give you too many picks. So
I am typing these in the chat, the Cody Mauch and Darnell Washington.
Yeah, I just, when you do this, you don't think about, well, you're also doing six other things as you're trying to do this. But, you know, it's one of the reasons why I normally have very few picks, but bit off more than I can chew today. All right, so the Pittsburgh Steelers. Let me see what we got going on here. So the Pittsburgh Steelers, it was Porter, wasn't it, in the first round? Yeah, Porter.
Yep, Joey Porter Jr.
So you got your, you know, your linebacker there. I really think.
And they drafted an O tackle with the first pick in the second round, Broderick Jones.
Right. They got Jones with the 2.1 picks. So they got their tackle. They got their edge, and I'm looking at Pittsburgh and what their needs are. And at this point, really what sticks out to me is that depending on what's left here, after you picked it clean. The offensive line to me kind of stands out, and offensive tackle specifically. This isn't right. He's still there. So I know Skoronski's gone. Paris Johnson.
He's gone.
Okay, that's what I thought. Broderick Jones is gone. And that was the pick. Okay. So they've already gone tackle. Probably don't want to double it up. All right. So I think their best bet, especially playing in the AFC North and having to deal with, let's be honest, dealing with Joe Burrow and company. Let's get the Pittsburgh Steelers a cornerback with this pick. And the best cornerback available. Is Banks still there?
Banks is gone from Maryland, right?
Yeah.
He's gone. He went to the Commanders with the 16th
pick. Deion White still there. Edge rusher from Georgia Tech.
Yes, sir, he is.
Well, let me go there. Let me go Keon White, edge rusher from Georgia Tech. 6'5", 285 pounds.
Had 7.5 sacks last year. I actually was going to go with him for the Bucs, so I like that pick.
Yeah, I think that's the best, especially for their needs. And let's be honest, they just do not pass on great linebackers. And I think that's a pretty good pick by the so Keon White, edge rusher from Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
That is the 18th pick. What is the 19th pick in this cram session?
Well, like I alluded to, I thought Keon White was a fantastic pick. I had him slotted in, but like all good GMs, you have a backup ready to roll, and that's exactly what Jason White has ready here. So I'm going with the backup pick here. When Keon White is gone, you look to another edge rusher, and I'm going with the likes of a Northwesterner, another Big Ten guy. I'm having the Bucks go with Mr. Adetomowa Adibawar. I probably butchered that, but Adetomiwa.
Easy for you to say.
Adibawar. So yeah, that one is a toughie, but this kid's a big guy, a little over 6'2", 282 pounds, comes in with really good hand, good tackling skills. He could play D-line or he could play edge, so he could really be one of those dudes for the Buccaneers who is pretty versatile over there. So in 2022, he played in 12 games and 712 snaps. He had a lot of tackles, a lot of stops. 31 pressures and 6 sacks as a pass rusher. I think he could be really effective once again from Northwestern, the D lineman / edge rusher, Adetomiwa Adibawar from Northwestern.
Every time you say it, it sounds different.
It's hard, man. I don't have one of those. Usually they give you a little help on this website, but this one.
You know what the GM's going to say who drafts him, right, as they hand the pick in? We want that guy.
Just bring us that guy, please. Hey, it was either him or Felix Anudike Uzama. So
that is wild. That is wild.
I need a glass of water after this one.
Okay. So there you have that. It's about time to start looking at tonight's games. I'm going to update this stuff as we go along. I'll have to get caught up here in the chat as we go on. Say his name one more time.
If you want me to, I really will. That man from Northwestern is Adetomi Adibawar.
You said his name 6 different ways in 3 attempts.
Adetomiwa Adibawar.
Oh, my God.
I think it'll be a little different every time it rolls off the tongue. Tommy Bahama. Let's go with that.
I've noticed that you haven't even typed his name in the chat yet.
Well, it's, you know, I think it auto-corrected 18 different things the first time I tried to type it in.
Get it into the chat and I'll give you a good nickname for him.
Yeah, I'm putting it in right now. Brian Cook chimes in. Maybe he could help us spell a little bit.
All right.
All right. Uploading into the chat.
All right. So to recap, Tones drafted the alphabet for number 19 to the, you know, your worst nightmares if he actually goes there.
Yeah, that would be
because he's going to be playing for your team.
I would just say, come on, Double A. I'd nickname him Double A.
All right. He will definitely be a nickname. I mean, that's got AA written all over it. All right. Games tonight. Give me your lock of the night.
Okay, real quick. Lock of the night's coming. I do like the Heat +8 tonight at home against Milwaukee. But my lock of the night is 7:40 Eastern time. Detroit Tigers at Milwaukee Brewers. I like the Brewers tonight, although I hate them in real life. But I love them tonight in the gambling world. They're -145 with Colin Ray on the mound. He's had one phenomenal start, one good start this year. I think he has a good game tonight against a lackluster Detroit lineup. First pitch, 7:40 Eastern time.
And I don't have it in here. Who did you take for the number 14 pick? You never put that in the draft.
Sam Laporta, the tight end out of Iowa. Yeah, I don't know why I skipped that one. Silly me. I did skip it in the chat, though. That's my apologies.
All right. Okay, my lock of the night, Braves -1.5. Even with that terrible bottom of the order that we have on display tonight, I think Strider's going to go out there and get the job done. We're going to rock it. And by the time we hit the ground running on Thursday, we're going to be going for the sweep, baby, because we are getting tired of this. We lost 4 in a row. It's time to win 4 in a row, getting ready for New York. We are about out of time. Tones, you got 5 seconds. Walk off.
Enjoy basketball and playoff hockey tonight, everybody.
My walk-off is Braves tonight. Tomorrow, we're back at it with the Braves Country Baseball 720. Keep it locked in here on the key, and we'll see you tomorrow, 3 to 5. We go live tomorrow morning. Get your morning started off right with Rhino Radio Penitentiary. We shall see you, baby. And we got some upcoming news about more broadcasting stuff that we got going on. Have a good one, y'all.
Goodbye, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. We're back tomorrow with another show.
Well, unless we're fired, we'll talk to you then. Goodbye, sweetheart. Goodbye.
Guys and gals, it's time to go. We'll see you on the next show.
Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thanks for listening to Braves Country with Mac McGee and the Armchair Quarterbacks on 99.1 FM WQEE The Key in Noonan, Georgia, and simulcasting on youtube.com/@Braves Country. Braves Country comes your way weekdays 3 p.m. Eastern to 5 p.m. Eastern. Please follow, like, and subscribe today. Armchair Quarterback Radio, your first choice for Southern sports.
Something of the 5th of September. Something of the 5th of September. She said a lot that I can't remember. Something of the 5th. Can I get another cigarette, please? Can I get another cigarette, please? Yeah, I know I live to regret it. Just give me another cigarette, please.
You're listening to WQEE 99.1 FM, The Key in Noonan, Georgia.